And I want to share something with you that will help you maintain your focus for this new year. And, you know, as I study these scriptures, many times you can teach the same thing, but get a little different light on what you're sharing or what you're studying. But there's a classic portion of scripture in Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk was a prophet in Israel, and he was praying about the direction of the nation and God's people. And here are some of the things that the Lord said to him in Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. He said, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him.'" In other words, he ain't right. "But the just shall live by his faith." So Habakkuk was waiting to hear from the Lord about matters concerning Israel. And the Lord said to him, "I want you to write the vision." In other words, what I give you, write it down. And then he said this, "Make it plain so that whoever reads the vision can run with it." Now, I want to focus on this concept of vision. You know, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, there is a word for vision. I believe it's kizion, and it literally means a divinely granted appearance. For example, the first time that that Abraham met God, remember? The Lord showed up and said to him, appeared to him in a vision, Genesis chapter 15, and told him what he wanted to do. And first thing Abraham said, "Lord, what will you give me seeing I go childless? And my heir is this, you know, the guy who watches my stuff, Eleazar of Damascus." And the Lord said, "I want you to go outside and I want you to look up into the heavens and look at the stars and see if you can count them." And the Lord said to him, "So shall your seed be." In other words, your descendants that come from you will be like the stars in heaven. Now, what happened in that instance was the Lord appeared to Abram in a vision. His name was Abram at the time. Appeared to him in a vision, had a divinely granted appearance, to give him vision. And so Abraham had vision through what he saw. God gave him something to connect with, something that he could identify with. Well, here in Habakkuk, the Lord told him to write the vision. And in this case, the word vision does not necessarily mean a divinely granted appearance, but it simply means the ability to see or perceive things properly. The ability to see or perceive things properly. We're talking about vision. And so the Lord gave him some good practical sense so people can take this vision and make it practical, or take this vision and practice it. I want you to write it down and make it plain so everybody can understand what the vision is. You with me? And once they can see it and understand it, then they can do it. Here's one thing you need to remember. You will not practice what you don't understand. That's why it's important that you study, instead of just go to church, you know, like a spectator, you know, going to a football game. You know, the team scores a touchdown, you shout and get happy, you know. And it always amazes me. I, you know, people will sit in church like a bump on a log, but take them to a football game. Lord have mercy. Let them go to a nice concert. Boy, they are up and moving, and you know, yet in church, you know. Anyway, that's not my message today. vision, the ability to see or perceive something. Now, here's where I want to spend a few minutes. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 29. You're in Habakkuk. Go to the left to the poetical books, Proverbs chapter 29. Right after Psalms, you'll run into Proverbs. And here's a verse of scripture that we've read many times, but I want to spend some time here. I'm going to show you some things about this verse and how there's a great practical application with it. Proverbs chapter 29 and classic portion of scripture, verse 18. If you got it, say, I got it. Now, notice what it says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, the New King James Version reads like this. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The word perish means they are cut off and they are destroyed. This is how important vision is. Now, here are some other renderings of that verse from other translations. The Amplified Bible says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. Notice, where there is no redemptive revelation. Redemptive revelation. Now, the word revelation doesn't mean something new. The word revelation literally means to uncover or to pull the covers off. Now, there have been times, you know, we whether it's good or bad, we do have one. My wife and I have a big screen TV on a wall in the bedroom. And you need two remotes to operate this thing. You need one for the cable box, and you need one for the TV. Now, we tried to program the TV through the cable remote, but this TV apparently is not in the setup menu. And so, consequently, we may fall asleep and leave that remote under the covers. And there have been times in making up the bed, we can't find the remote. We know it's in there somewhere. But you don't find it till you pull the covers off. Oh, there it is. And so when you see the remote after moving the covers, that remote didn't just show up. It was there all night. The same thing is true when it comes to revelation from the Scripture or by the Spirit. These aren't necessarily new things. They've been there for thousands of years. You just didn't know it. You just didn't know it, or you didn't see it. And so when you see the word revelation, don't think new, think something revealed, something uncovered. That's the more literal translation of that word. The Darby translation of the New Testament says this, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. The Good News Version says, where there is no vision, the people decay. The Message Bible says this, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And the literal translation of Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people live undisciplined and unproductive lives. And so vision's important. You need to know, number one, remember that one translation, where there is no redemptive revelation. There are many Christian people who live their lives traditionally, but apart from redemptive revelation. They live their lives like the cross never happened. And that's a tragic mistake. The cross did happen. Jesus did rise from the dead. You have been made the righteousness of God in him. You have been healed by his stripes. You need to live your life by redemptive revelation. So we can't live like the cross never happened. You know, I used to be in the Pentecostal church, and I remember there was one song they loved to sing. Without God, I would be nothing. Without him, and I just couldn't stand that song. Every time I heard it, I mean, I'd curl my lip and have to bite it. And finally, I said to one of the choir directors, would you stop singing that unbelief? He said, what do you mean? I said, you keep singing about all the things that life would be without God, but you're not without Him. He lives in you. You need to start acting like it, talking like it, and singing like it. Stop singing like the cross never happened. It did. And he didn't even see it. He didn't even understand it. Then I had another men's choir. I embarrassed a woman one time. You don't mind me getting off on this little sideline, do you? She got up and she was announcing the lineup for the songs. And she was, I forget what where this was, some musical service. And she said, and then the such and such boys, they were all brothers, are going to sing Troubles in My Way. And I said, no, they're not either. In front of everybody, I said, no, they're not either. She said, what? I said, we're not singing that song in this place. I didn't care if she was embarrassed or not. You know, I'd love her. Precious woman. She went to be with the Lord years ago. But I thought, we ain't having that song up in here. Troubles in my way. Singing like the cross never happened. It did. You need to live your life in the light of redemptive revelation. Are you with me?
Yep.
Now, where there is no vision, people perish. I like this one version where it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. They stumble all over themselves. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 28. Let me show you something. Isaiah chapter 28. You're in Proverbs. Just go to the right about 20 pages maybe. Isaiah chapter 28. And here's something that Isaiah dealt with in a time when the kingdom was divided and things had gotten out of control. And he prophesied about what was going to happen in Israel and why it was happening. Now, I think you can identify with this. Remember that one translation. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Another translation says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Other translations literally say this, where there is no vision, people run wild. Run wild. They have no vision. They can't see. Now, here's what happened in Israel in Isaiah's day. The kingdom was divided, and the culture was such that these people had gotten so far away from the things of God that the culture began to influence the way they lived their lives. Notice this. He says this in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 1. Notice what he starts with. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunks of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valleys. To those who are overcome with wine. And he goes on and talks about the fact that because of their diminishing influence, their lack of vision, and the fact that they're drunk all the time, that they're going to be crushed. Notice verse 7, Isaiah 28. But they have also erred through wine and through intoxicating drink and are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. Notice this. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. And so because of the way they were living their lives, they could not see properly. They could not judge properly. And they were literally stumbling. Now, if you go back and study the history of Israel, writers have described the culture at this time that, you know, they were prosperous, the place was beautiful, and they had gotten to the point where it was not uncommon to find people passed out in the street drunk. We're talking about Israel. We're talking about God's people. Drunk. And it had gone so far that it even corrupted leadership. The priest and the prophet were commonly intoxicated and drunk. Well, guess what? If leadership ain't right, what do you think everybody else is going to do? It spread. And they started to diminish and they couldn't see it. The kingdom was being taken from them and they were blind to it. And that's what happens when you have no vision. The enemy will camp out in your house and steal your stuff. And you're clueless. You're clueless. And so we have to understand how important vision is. Now, there's a pastor that I watch from time to time. And his name is Joe McGee. He is so funny. Joe McGee is pastor, and he had a bunch of daughters. And he said, one thing I always do when my daughter started dating, I wanted to meet the young men that they were going to go out with, and I wanted 30 minutes with them before they ever took my daughter any place. And it can be before they go to the movie, before they go wherever, I want 30 minutes. And he said, one of the questions I always ask them is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And Joe McGee said, sad thing is, most of them were clueless. Well, I don't know. I have no idea. He said, you know, you ain't going out with my daughter. You don't know where you're going. Now remember, where there is no vision, people perish. You ain't taking my daughter anyplace. That's what he said. So, he said he had one young man come to the house, and he asked him. He said, I got him a piece of apple pie. Sat down, and he ate that pie. He said, boy, Pastor Joe, this pie is really good. He said, yeah, eat up. And he said, let me ask you a question, young man. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? What are your goals? And he said, well, I got my eye on a Ford F-150 pickup truck. He said, and I plan, when I get out of school, I'm going to get a job at such and such place. And I'm going to buy me that Ford F-150. He said, there's a shotgun I've had my eye on. He said, I'm going to buy myself a hunting dog. And Joe McGee said, okay, that's fine. He went and got him another piece of pie. He said, here, have another piece of pie. I'm going to take the 30 minutes. He said, you ain't taking my daughter any place. He said, but you can have another piece of pie. You know? He said, young man, you have no idea where you're going in 5 years. He says, and everything you want to do, you can do by yourself. He said, but you're not taking my daughter out anywhere. Think about it. How perceptive should we be when it comes to things like that? You know, what kind of questions do we ask? Well, I don't want to upset them. You better upset them. You better shake them up. See, many times in life, we're just too timid. You know, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, our intent is not to hurt somebody's feelings. Our intent is to wake them up. You know, now Joe McGee is so firm on this because he knows that Proverbs 29:18 is a powerful truth. When his family comes for Thanksgiving and Christmas around the house, he makes them all tell, all right, what are you going to do in the next 5 years? Makes them go around the table. Because he wants them to maintain vision and know that God has something more for them than just barely getting along or surviving. Amen? Now, Isaiah chapter 28, we read about these people and how they were just aired through wine. It was a sad situation. But now go down to verse 9 in Isaiah chapter 28. And notice something. The Lord turns and shows us something. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Just those who were weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Notice verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. But they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. Now, I have learned over many, many years that this is a perfect picture of what the Holy Spirit and the Word of God can do in your life. How do you learn and understand teaching or doctrine? Precept upon precept, you have to study. line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And then notice right in the middle of that, he says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. I have learned more and gained more insight from the Word of God by studying and praying in the Holy Ghost than any other method. Are you with me? There are some things in the Bible that we don't understand. Well, guess what? If you consult with the author, he'll give you some insight. See, holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There have been times I have read the same scripture for decades, hundreds of times. And then one day I'll be reading that scripture and it's like it leaps off the page. Literally jumps off the page. And I see something I've never seen before. Never seen before. I shared with you a couple years ago. You know, I was reading from Mark chapter 11. And I read that scripture hundreds, if not thousands of times before. And one day I'm reading it and I stuck on one verse. And Jesus answered and said to it. Talking about a fig tree. Jesus answered and said to it. I thought, wait a minute. How can you answer a tree? Trees don't talk. Where I come from, they don't talk. I never met a tree that had lips and a mouth. Or a tongue. Not once. How in the world could Jesus answer? So I thought it was a poor translation. Went and looked at the original language. Looked up the words. Apokrinomai, which means to respond to something that was said or done. And it always comes after a preceding event. So Jesus spoke to that tree because that tree said something. But yet, the scripture doesn't record what that tree said, and trees don't talk. Now, while you're thinking about that, think about this. Jesus spoke back to that tree, and that tree that had no ears heard his words and died. And you know what the Lord revealed to me? The circumstances of life speak to each and every one of us every day. How do we respond? How do we respond? And many times, communication is not verbal. Do you get that? See? Somebody will do something and you hear something in your on the inside of your head. And many times that's the enemy trying to get inside you, trying to deal with your thought life. And you'll have a thought. Nobody said a word, but that thought will come, won't it? That's how we have to control the war of words. Amen? But that's not my message today. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Talking about vision, the ability to see or perceive something clearly. Where there is no vision, people perish. They're cut off and they are destroyed. Psalm 119 or 105. It is 119. Yeah, Psalm 105 is one of those scriptures that my Bible falls open to every day. Psalm 119, we're talking about vision. Notice verse 105, Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word, O Lord, in the King James Version, is a lamp unto my feet. That word lamp is only found twice in the Old Testament. It's the Hebrew word near. And it refers to a lamp or a candle. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, God illuminates the way we should live, the path we should take through the word. Through the word. So the word shines light and lets me know where to step, where to walk, and how to conduct myself. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Notice verse 130 in Psalm 119. Verse 130. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. In other words, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. The simple person can gain light and insight through the Word of God. The entrance of your Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, you're in Psalms. Turn to the right to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. We're talking about vision. Proverbs chapter 20. And there's one verse that is so insightful. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the lamp. There again, you find that Hebrew word near, which means a lamp or a candle. And so these two scriptures, Psalm 119, 105, and Proverbs 20, 27, let us know two things. Number one, God illuminates us through His Word. He turns the light on so that we can see clearly. Secondly, God illuminates us in our spirits. God turns the light on so that we can see clearly. And so we live our lives by the Word and by the Spirit. See, your spirit knows things your head hasn't figured out yet. Your spirit is where the Holy Spirit lives. He makes His home in you. Remember when Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, and He will show you things to come. Well, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He makes His home in you. And from that position on the inside of you, He will bring illumination. He will turn the light on. And so we should always be led by the Word of God. We should always be led by the Spirit of God on the inside of us. You know, I've had young people ask me, you know, how do I know the will of God? How can I know what God's plan is for my life? Well, number one, you got to spend time in His Word, because He will illuminate your life through the Word. And number two, you've got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Now, you can find the will of God, in a general sense, in the Word of God. You know, Bible says some things that we need to practice. You know, the Old Testament is the pattern for the Christian life. The Old Testament has some commandments, thou shalt not steal. Well, you know, if you're presented with an opportunity to take something that doesn't belong to you, what do? Follow the Word. It says don't do it. Very simple. You ain't got to pray about it. You don't have to call me up and ask me about it. I had a guy about 15 years ago call me up. Said, Pastor, I found a wallet. All right, okay, good for you. Did you give it back? Yeah, I gave it back. And then he said this, but I kept the money though. He said, Pastor, was I wrong? I said, you know you were wrong. That's why you're calling me. What'd you keep the money for? Why didn't you give the money back to the person? You know, sad. But he knew on the inside of him what to do. Now, listen, if there's no scripture that covers your case, then be led by the Spirit of God on the inside. You with me? He'll lead you and guide you, excuse me, the right way. Excuse me. All right. Turn with me to one last scripture. We'll wrap this up for today. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. When you're studying the Bible, I always recommend that you start with the New Testament. Start with the Gospel of Matthew. Hang a right. Learn about the life and ministry of Jesus. If you're not a believer, read the Gospel of John. It'll reveal to you who Jesus was and is and why He came. And then the rest of the New Testament is letters written to born-again folk. Don't concentrate on the Old Testament. Anybody can pick scriptures from the Old Testament and build any kind of goofy doctrine you want to. But the Old Testament is the pattern for the Christian life. And I often say this, you know, if I wrote a letter to Valerie and said all kind of sweet, cushy things in it, you know, about how sweet she is and how I love her and all that good stuff. There's no point in you picking up that letter and blushing, because I wasn't writing to you. You with me? Same thing is true when it comes to the Old Testament. God said some things to Israel under the law of Moses that have nothing to do with you. Yet there are some people who want to pick and choose the law. Well, you know, the law says this, that, and the other. I said, okay. Go down a few verses more. It also says, thou shalt not wear two different kinds of cloth. You got linen and polyester on you in trouble. Amen. You wearing a cotton blend, you in trouble. Don't focus on pork. Are you with me? I've seen some people, they won't eat pork to save their lives, but they'll go outside and smoke 20 cigarettes. I'm like, okay. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5. Are you there?
I'm there.
Talking about vision. Watch this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, let's look at this verse in detail. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Let's break that word down. Circum and spect. The word circum means round. The word spect means the ability to see. Vision. In other words, see that you live your lives in such a way that you can see and pay attention to what's going on in and around your life. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If you can't see, you won't understand what the will of the Lord is. But when you understand the will of the Lord and you're aware of what's going on around you because you see it, then you can live your life in a productive way. Amen? Now the word akrobos, it says perfectly there. Let me go back to this verse. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. If you can't see it, you'll never understand it. But if you take the time to see and live your life in such a way, you can understand what God's will is and you can walk it out day by day, step by step.
Amen?
Amen? Now the word circumspectly, if you look up the definition, it also means exactly, circumspectly, diligently, perfectly. Now here's one thing I want to leave you with. The word perfectly does not mean that God expects you to live your life flawlessly. But it simply means you're to live your life in a mature way. Remember when David said, hey, when I was a child, I thought as a child, acted as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, as believers, we ought to have at least that much sense that when we mature into things of God, some of the things that we used to play with as spiritual children, we don't play with anymore. You with me? I mean, my wife gets on me all the time because I play a lot of chess. Well, it is a game, but it's not a kid's game. You know, this is a strategy game. And I've been playing chess for decades. I'm kind of hooked on it. You know what I mean? I found an online website where I can play, get involved in tournaments. I play with people from all around the world. I'm a decent chess player, but I really get a lot of pleasure out of beating somebody who's really good. Oh, man. Oh, boy. When I take them down, I'll go back and look at that game and say, boy, what was the key? What was the turning point? Yeah, he made a mistake right here. And I used that and leveraged that, and I got him. You know, that's when chess gets to be fun. It's kind of frustrating when you lose to somebody you shouldn't lose to. But it happens because you're not watching properly. One of the mistakes that people make when they play chess is a lack of vision. In other words, you weren't looking at the whole board. You were focusing over here where you're rook and you're pawn and you were trying to work this leverage. You're not paying attention to what's going on somewhere else. Amen? That's the way we should live our lives. Always paying attention to everything. Amen? Doesn't mean we micromanage. Doesn't mean that we obsess with all of these details. But it simply means that through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, we're listening and watching and paying attention to what's going on. I told my wife the other day, we were praying, or she was praying, and she said something about closing your eyes. And I had my eyes open. I said, the Bible says watch and pray. You don't necessarily have to close your eyes when you pray. Watch and pray. How are you going to see anything with your eyes closed? Watch and pray. So, that's what I do. I can pray just as effectively with my eyes wide open as I can with my eyes shut. Amen? Why? I'm paying attention to what's going on. Hallelujah. For 2020, be a person of vision. A lack of vision can cost you dearly. Don't be that person. Walk in the light of the Word. Walk by the Spirit who lives on the inside of you. And pay attention to what God says and does in your life. And this will be one of the best years you've ever seen. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord.